Well, for if any of you don't know who we are, my name's Jim. It's my wife, Ari. We do have two girls, and we've had a lot of people asking about Rochelle and Tara. Rochelle, I think many have heard, just got married on January 7th. A godly young man, one that we knew. I won't go through the whole story, but it's kind of one of those fairy tale type stories that they grew up in nursery together in Rotorua, New Zealand, when I was going to Bible college there. Actually, his dad was one of my professors in Bible college. And so everybody teased, you know, they're going to get married, you know, and, you know, you get a boy and a girl that are born at the same time, and in nursery, everybody teases that way, and, you know, it actually turned out that way. Three countries later, different places, they didn't see each other from, you know, infancy, basically, almost to, you know, nearly 20 years old, but God had that worked out for them and ended up sitting next to each other in Bible college. And Rochelle was completely oblivious to the fact that he sat next to her on purpose. It took her a little while to figure that out. Actually, her sister elbowing her and saying, "Do you realize why he's sitting next to you?" And, "What? No." So that was a real blessing on the 7th. And then Tara is getting married on December 5th of this year. So a busy year for me. I'm going to have both of my girls married in 1 year. So pray for me. Still getting used to the idea of being a father-in-law. It's different. Not bad, necessarily, but it's different. So it's good. This other young man that Tara is marrying is a good young man, a friend of the family for many years, active in church. So answers to prayer on both of them. Good men that way. So they both say hello, but unfortunately not able to be here, so you'll have to pass it along through email or however you want to that way, but they both do send their greetings. Vanuatu, our flag is up. It's kind of hiding from me right now, but in the back corner there, one in. And Vanuatu is, just to give a brief overview, especially if you're not able to be here in the next service, we'll be showing our presentation, but we do have a display in the back. We have prayer cards back there, some photos, things like that. Bits and pieces of things from Vanuatu, so feel free to come have a look. Ask questions, please. We love answering questions, and I'm not afraid to say I don't know, so don't be afraid to ask. If I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know, and I'll try and find out for you, and I'll get you an answer. So come talk to us. There's a lot happening in the ministry, so even between the two services, we're not going to be able to share absolutely everything that's happening, and that is a huge blessing. For me to be able to say that. God has been so good to us. There's been challenges. Like in any ministry, there are always difficulties. People fighting against you, families that are not pleased with their children. I did get an update this morning just to share as a prayer request for you. One of my Bible college men, his father has been doing absolutely every single thing in his power to keep him away from God's word, away from the church, away from the Bible college. He's a young man, 18 years old, and dad and the uncles all got together and signed a scholarship for him and a loan off of his money, not off of their money, but a loan off of basically what would be his retirement, and have sent him to Fiji. So we're praying that he can get into a good church while he's in Fiji, and praying that we'll see him stand strong, and as he comes back, we know his heart is very strong, but to stand up against family, I guess he didn't. So pray for him. His name's Stephen, and there are challenges that way that happen in the ministry, but we've seen a lot of victories as well. We've got a young man in the island of Tana that you'll see in the presentation, and I know Tana is one that I've talked a lot about with the John Frum cult, different things like that. He is the first Tannese gentleman that we've seen really stand faithful and stay faithful in the church. Tana's a hard place to reach. Ronald is his name. Doing amazing. Going through Bible college. Has a real heart to preach. Has led his father, his mother, his sister, and is trying to reach out to the rest of his family to the Lord. His dad is back in Tana asking for prayer. And Ronald has a heart that if that's where God would send him, to be back in Tana, and to be able to see, well, the gospel preached for the first time to his family, to his village, to his area. So pray for him. Pray for that future, that nothing would get in the way of that heart desire that he has. Ronald's dad is back now doing the best that he can to preach. And he's really, well, praying for help. Ronald's dad has faced some real persecution since he's been back. One of the chiefs in the area that used to be part of that same church that he was a part of before has come and cut down about 100 of his coconut trees. It's in the court system now, threatened, well, severe bodily harm to him. And just pray for his safety, his protection. He came up to us the last Sunday before he went, just in tears. And to see a Montana cry is unheard of. Asking for prayer requests. So again, that one is very heavy on my heart. Pray for him and pray for his safety. Pray that people would see the difference and that that would make a impact in Tana, be an open door, maybe the first opportunity to get into the island of Tana as well. Vanuatu, a quick overview, is about 85 islands. You'll see in the prayer card it says 83. That's officially, according to the French, according to most of the rest of the world, because they follow what the French say, it's 83 islands. According to Vanuatu, it's 85 islands. There are two down to the south that are still under dispute, probably will be forever. France just claims them. Vanuatu says, no, you gave them to us in independence. They're ours. You can't take them back. And so there's 85 all claim. 83 officially, if you look it up online. And a lot of need in those islands still. We're based in Port Vila in the capital city, and you'll see a little bit of Port Vila in the presentation if you're able to be here for the second service. God's given us a great opportunity there. We've got a church in the capital continuing to grow. We had the last 3 years, almost every single Sunday, visitors in the church. So continue to pray for new faces, new opportunities to share the gospel. We get a lot of people that are coming through Port Vila. It's a central hub. So people will come. A lot of the visitors that we have, they're only there for a week or two. So we have a short opportunity before they're right back out to another island or back to their home island. And they may not ever come back to Vila. That may be the one and only time that they're in Port Vila. But we have an opportunity when they're there to be able to reach them and to send them back with some material, send them back with gospel tracts. Pray for them as they go back, and pray that during that small window that we have, that God's word would be able to have an impact on them. We've continued to see outreaches into other islands because of that as well. We've got a school, 197 students right now. The first part of the year, it's always just a little bit in flux. So 197, that'll probably go over 200 by the time we get it finished, but around 200 kids right at the moment. Next year, we're going to be moving, so this is another prayer request. We're going to be moving up to class 9, and then the year after, try and go to class 10. That means we have a building project coming, so we need classrooms for that. We need teachers, so pray for that. We have one of our teachers that we've been praying for, and I don't know, Ari, if you even saw this email yet this morning, but good news this morning as well. So I shared one prayer request that we heard this morning, one blessing this morning, a lady that we've been praying for, nearly the entire time that we've been there. And she said, I want to be a part of the school. I want to be a part of the ministry. And then every time it's just, but the government school gives me my house, a place to stay. The government school does this, and she's just never truly surrendered to do it. This year, she has been talking to some of the ladies in the church, and she's come yesterday, there in Vanuatu, and said, I am surrendering to teach it. So great opportunity. She is a very smart woman. She's got the education to be able to do some of those upper grades. And when we needed it, she was there. God worked in her heart, and she said yes. So that was a huge praise. Pray for her, because there's going to be some challenges that come with this. She's going to lose where she's staying. She's going to need to find a place to live. There's a cost with it, but God has always provided. So pray that he would give her a place that's even better than where she is, and would show her that he can reward faithfulness. And we know that he is more than able to. So pray for Johnny. That's her name. Continue to pray for the school as it continues to grow as well. There's a lot of changes happening in Vanuatu right now in the education system. And so it's putting a lot of focus on our school. That is a good thing in many ways. It's a challenge in many ways, too, because that means everybody in the government and in the country is looking at us right now. Pray for excellent testimonies and opportunities to share the gospel through that. Pastor Nicholson in the north, you'll see more about him. His ministry is continuing to grow. I won't go through every single detail, but so many things that are happening in Vanuatu right now. We've got a prison ministry in two prisons in the capital. We've got a radio station that we had three different weeks in this last year. We had 15 hours, so Sunday to Sunday, morning and night and afternoon on Sunday. Total freedom over the government's radio station to preach the gospel. No restrictions whatsoever. The first time we told our men, we had five men preach, including myself and Brother Spohr, three of our young men in the church, and said, all right, preach like this is your last opportunity, because it may very well be. And they gave us another chance even after that. We came back, had Christmas week, and then New Year's week, they replayed the Christmas week again because the group that was supposed to come didn't come. And so we got 2 weeks in a row during Christmas and New Year's over the radio. And this reaches the entire country. We had a report, Monterey, California. Somebody picked it up on shortwave. So who knows how far that went. But it reaches, at the very least, every island in Vanuatu. Huge opportunity. We're praying for some real fruit and open doors through that. That's something that may take us quite a while to see how much of an impact that can have. But pray for that radio ministry as it continues. The last time we had seven men, so we're getting more men that are stepping up and preaching on the radio, taking active roles. So continue to pray for more men to step up. So many things. We have a military ministry that we had the first chance to be in last year. We're trying to actually take the chaplaincy in the prison ministry because in the military ministry, the man that's there right now doesn't show up very often at all. He always says he'll be there, and then most of the time he's not. So they're looking for someone that's willing to be there and actually, you know, preach, actually be present. So we're willing to fill that role. We've got men in the church that are active and able. We're just praying for God to open up that door. So if you'd pray for that as well. Many, many other things. You'll see a lot more in the presentation when it comes. Again, feel free. Come and talk to us. And I want to make sure that when you see this, this is your guys' fruit. Coming here, some of you remember when we first came, we were a bit rough around the edges. Adam likes to tell stories about when he first met me, and a bit rougher around the edges at that point in time. And God has done so much for us through this church, for the ministry in Vanuatu through this church. So thank you for your faithfulness, for your prayers, the heart, the love. Thank you is not enough. This ministry in Vanuatu is your ministry. So the fruit that you see, this is your fruit. This is what God has done with that faithfulness, with your prayers. And again, during the main service, if you can see that, I pray that it's a real blessing to you and encouragement to see what God's used you to do in Vanuatu. Today, if you go ahead and take your Bibles and open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. We'll read verse 8 down through verse 11. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 says, wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. And then in verse 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here again this morning. Lord, I pray that you take this time during this service and the main service, Lord, you take your word. Lord, you know the hearts of each and every one of us that are here this morning. Lord, the strengths and the weaknesses. Lord, you know where we are, the needs that we have in our lives. Lord, what you're doing, and Lord, what you would have us to do for you. And Lord, I pray that you would challenge us, encourage us this morning. Lord, this morning we had blessings and a real prayer request, both that came through and report in Vanuatu. And I know in many lives, mornings often greet us that way. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to prove what you've done in our lives. Lord, to be able to stand strong. And Lord, to be able to see you present in all that we do. Lord, use this time through the main service, through this time of lesson. And Lord, I pray that you would get the glory in everything that we do. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul ends here in verse 11. It says, "For we are not ignorant of his devices." And he's talking about, I guess if we had a small title for the lesson this morning, is the devil's devices. And this is something that we are very aware of in Vanuatu. Vanuatu is very blunt in about everything that it does. You talk to people and they're very direct. The language is very blunt. A lot of you have heard me say in times past with Bislama, it's a English and French and 118 different dialects all merged in together, that it's a limited language in many ways. There's not a huge vocabulary, but because it's limited, there's only one way to say most anything. And either you just come out right and say it, or you put your head down and you stay quiet. There's not a lot between. In fact, there's really nothing in between. You have to either say it or put your head down. And culturally, that's how you do it. If you don't want to be blunt and say it, you put your head down and everybody knows you're just not going to get an answer. That's it. They've chosen to stay quiet. But when you answer, you have to answer bluntly, directly. Culture's that way. I mean, we've had confrontations where people have come up point blank in our face and looked at me and said, "Pastor, you're one of the most unchristian people I've ever met in my life." It's, wow. And then you find the definition of what Christianity is, and that was actually one of the paramount chiefs at Hosea and Georgina's wedding, that he was saying we were unchristian because we would not put the custom religion, the spirit worship, ahead of Christianity. And that made us unchristian. And in his eyes, that was his definition of Christianity. Ni Vanuatu first, custom religion first, Christ second, that is Christianity. And so I was unchristian because I wouldn't do that by his definition. That we said, no, Christ first, God's word first. And if there's something in custom religion that is against God's word, we cannot stand on that. It's against God's word. And so he was very blunt, very direct. Hosea's dad disowned him at his wedding. It was challenging. Hosea is our youth leader, teaches in the school, godly young man, preached on the radio. Pray for him. These are the challenges that some of our men face in Vanuatu. People are very blunt. Now his dad has come back because Hosea, God has blessed him, and so Hosea's dad wants a part of that blessing. And so he's always, when he has a need, he'll come back, even though he's disowned him multiple times now. It's a constant struggle for Hosea. Pray for him in that. But people are very clear about it. I've had a church member sitting outside in the parking lot refuse to come in. And we actually do have a parking lot now. It's something I never thought we'd have in Vanuatu. God's blessed us. We had to expand our parking lot. It's amazing what God has been doing. When we started, there was nobody in the church that had a vehicle or motorcycle, anything. And now we had to expand our parking lot. So it's just amazing what God is doing in the lives of some of the men. So we had this gentleman sitting in the parking lot. And now, to praise the Lord and give credit where credit is, he is one of the biggest blessings that we have in the church right now. That he is being a huge help. But had told me point blank to my face that I was being used of the devil. There's challenges. People are blunt. People are direct. And so today I want to look a little bit here. Paul was one of those kind of men. He's very blunt. He's very direct. And he challenges in verse 11 and says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." So the devil's devices. See, the challenge here was to confirm your love toward him. And Paul says that I might know the proof of you. See, it's exam time for them. This is a test. All right, prove what Christ has done. Prove who you are in him. Show and confirm that his love is in you. You know you're not ignorant of it. Now it's exam time. And Paul challenged them. Prove your love. Prove what Jesus Christ has done in your life. And in our lives, sometimes that's a challenge that, I don't know about you, but at least I need. And I think if we're honest, all of us do need that sometimes, to be challenged like Paul is challenging here and saying, look, confirm your love. Prove what Christ has done in your life. And Paul said, ye forgive. He says, I forgive in the person of Christ. lest Satan should get an advantage of us through those verses. The first device that I want to look at just briefly this morning is the device of deception. This is one that a lot of Christians in Vanuatu, a lot of people in Vanuatu, they face a lot of deception. A lot of things that are called Christianity, like the example with that paramount chief, that have nothing to do with Christ, and a lot of other just cultural things, daily life, that's always there as a pressure. And that's not just in Vanuatu. It's something that Christians throughout the world, no matter where you are, it's something we all have to stand up against. It's something that here in Corinth, they definitely dealt with in their culture. There was a lot of deception around them. And that device of deception, say, you're safe. You're good where you are. It's okay. It's not for you. Doesn't apply to you. You've done enough. All of the different things that we can hear that are deceptions. Say, no, it's okay. It's okay where you are. And Paul talked about it a lot through the book of Corinthians. If you go to chapter 3, verse 14, it says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. There was a lot of deception in this time. On the side of the Gentiles, in the, well, if you know anything about the Greek and Roman culture during this time, the challenges that they faced in Corinth were huge. The temptations literally on every corner in the streets themselves was huge. And then in the Jewish culture, Paul talked often about the religion that he came out of and the deceitfulness that it had for many. No, this is not the Messiah. No, this is not for you, not yet. There were so many things in this time. Chapter 4, verse 4, he says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If you go to chapter 11, down in verse 3, chapter 11, verse 3, it says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, it says the same tactic that was used back in the Garden of Eden, and as the serpent beguiled Eve, saying, well, you misunderstood what God said. He didn't actually say that. What he meant was, and that same deception is used worldwide today, says, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See, and it's a lot of deception that's in this world. It's one of the key devices that Satan has used, one of the very first that he used, and it's still one of the very first that he goes to in the world today. Now, if you go to Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2 down to verse 4, and it's not just direct from Satan himself. Here in chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. This is something, now we know where the root of this is, but this is something that mankind, sometimes even friends and family, people that are the closest to us, if we're not careful, can be used to help deceive us. We see this all the time in our families in Vanuatu. Family is one of the biggest hurdles, one of the biggest challenges that our people face. I've mentioned before that we have a gentleman right now that tithes at the church that has never come to church. He gives his tithe faithful every single Sunday, and we keep telling him we don't want it. We want you. Keep your money. We want you to come. And he refuses. And he says, no, this is my church. I said, but you've never come. But this is my church. I said, well, why are you going to the other church? Oh, pastor, family. It's hard. And this is a struggle that people face. There's a lot of deception there. In verse 8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So we can find victory over this device, though. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. There's victory over that deception. And that's rooted, founded, established in Christ, in His Word. We have a foundation that way, and we're not ignorant of the devices, and especially it's one of deception. The more we know of the truth, the less power deception has over us. The more grounded, the more rooted we are in Jesus Christ, the less anything else or anyone else can touch us and move us, because we have a firm foundation. Victory over the device. In 1 Thessalonians 4:1, and I'll just read this because of the time, it says, "Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, excuse me, so you would abound more and more." The device of deception. That's not the only device that the devil uses, though. There's the device of distraction. And this is where you're not outright saying, no, it's not for me, but saying, well, maybe not yet. You have a little bit of time still. You can do it next Sunday. You can do it next week. Maybe next year. After you finish this, the deception or distraction of saying, well, you know, one time, just a little bit's not going to hurt. You deserve it. It's okay. It's not going to distract you. It's not going to pull you off of the path. It's all right for you to do it. In Luke chapter 21, if you'd go back with me, Luke 21, verse 34. Luke 21, verse 34 says, "And take heed to yourselves." Pay attention. Be aware, be alert, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. This is a good application for us, is to take heed. In 1 Corinthians, back where we were in chapter 7, verse 35, says, "And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, not to hinder you, not to hurt you, not to hold you back, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction." Saying the purpose here is so that you can serve God. You can serve your Lord Jesus Christ without any distractions pulling you away from His will, His path, His purpose in your life. And sometimes we look at those things and say, well, this is something that's holding me back. This is something that's hindering me. And Paul's saying, look, that's not the reason at all. The reason here is so that you can do what Christ has for you without any hindrances, without anything getting in the way, without distraction. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, "We are always falling in love or quarreling, looking for jobs or fearing to lose them, getting ill and recovering from illness, following public affairs." And this, I think, still applies to life today. As if we let ourselves, we shall always be waiting for some distraction or other to end before we can really get down to our work. The only people who achieve much are those who want knowledge so badly that they seek it while the conditions are still unfavorable. Favorable conditions never come. If we wait for the right time, oftentimes you're going to be waiting your entire life, and that right time is never going to come. That if we wait until everything's perfect, the conditions are just right, you're probably never going to start. I know if you've ever tried building anything, at least in the tropics, if you wait until the conditions are just right to start building, you're never going to start. It just doesn't work. It's very similar to the Northwest here. You wait until the weather is perfect, nothing's ever going to get built. Okay, and in our Christian lives, if we wait until the weather is perfect, nothing's ever going to get built. Because there's never that perfect time. Those distractions of just a little bit more, maybe it's really easy to fall into that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, victory over this device in verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. Or sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. That didn't look right. Helps if I go to the right chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." This is anything that is lifting itself up into the place of where God should be in our lives. It's taking our minds off of Him and onto something else that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Victory over the device of distraction. And then just quickly at the last device to look at, and this is one that a lot of people deal with. It's one that you hear a lot more of now, at least here in the U.S., I've noticed, than I used to ever hear anybody say. It used to be nobody would ever admit to this one. Distraction and deception, you know, people would admit to those, but this one nobody ever wanted to admit to. No, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm all right. It's the device of depression. And it's something that, to be perfectly honest, I think everyone, I know I do, that we face sometimes. And sometimes the biggest time that I'm facing this struggle with depression is in the times where it makes the least sense. Right after God has done something amazing, the next day or two, I'm going to be struggling. And there's no reason for it. But that depression comes anyways. And we start to question, well, what if, or if you had, or it's too late, or you can't do it, or maybe your faith isn't enough, and there's all of these things that start coming in, and depression sets in. In Vanuatu, people do not admit to depression at all. It's nobody's ever depressed. We had a reputation a while back of being the happiest nation on earth, because people came in and they asked people, and everybody smiled. Well, do you have any problems? No. And all the answers were good. People would laugh, they would joke, they would smile. And what they didn't get is in Vanuatu, in the culture, when something is bad, you laugh about it. When something is horrible, you smile about it. I've had people tell me that someone close to them and their family passed away with a smile on their face and then laugh after saying it. And it's not because it's just, this is how you deal with that grief, that depression. And so we were the happiest place on earth, and everybody in Vanuatu just, well, smiled and laughed about that too. They said, yeah, we're the happiest place on earth, and everybody knew the challenges that they were facing. And we do that sometimes too. Now, brother, how are you this morning? Oh, I'm good. Life is great. And then, you know, the second we're by ourselves, it's there again. Say, nobody feels the way I do. I mean, read through Jonah, read through Job, read through any of the men, the Psalms, read through the men that dealt with depression. And oftentimes, how many of the prophets have said, well, you know, I'm the only one. There's nobody else. Elijah, just to read a few, 1 Kings 19:4 says, it is enough now. This is Elijah. These are men that we look at and saying, these are some of the spiritual giants of the Old Testament, men of God. He says, it's enough. It's enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. He says, that's it. I'm done. Kill me now, God, because I'm just as bad as every one of them that came before. Wow. Jeremiah said, cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Don't celebrate my birth. It should be a curse. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father. This is, you know, a problem of the messengers now getting into it. The guy that came and brought good tidings said, congratulations. Well, he should be cursed too. This is a deep depression. Okay? Saying, a man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. He deceived my father. He too should be cursed for lying to my dad. It wasn't a reason to celebrate. That's depression. Even Jesus himself in Mark 14:34 said, and he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. David in Psalm 42, verse 11 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. It says, what's wrong with me? Soul, what's wrong with you? I mean, get this picture a little bit. David standing there looking inside and saying, soul, what is your problem? God is still God. Stop being depressed. Why are you disquieted inside of me? Stop it. God is still God. Hope thou in God. In Psalm 34, verse 18 and 19, says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. It says, when your heart's broken, God is close.
and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but, one of the best words in the Bible, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. See, when this device, when this depression comes, stand up like David and say, soul, what's wrong with you? God is here. Look at what he's doing. I still trust him. So soul, get on the same page. God is still God. And praise him. The Lord delivereth him out of them all. See, victory is possible over this device as well. And it doesn't take all of this. Well, you see and hear so many different things in the world today that they say this is how you find victory over it. This is how you, and I won't go into all of that. But we do have victory over these things. This is something that is only in Jesus Christ. If you go to Philippians chapter 4 with me, and we'll finish at this verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 through 9. And this is a fairly well-known portion of Scripture, but a reminder, victory is possible over this device of depression. Now, he had just told them in verse 6, if you look just a little bit above, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. This is no matter what, in the times of victory, in the times of depression, and all of it, rejoice. He had told them in verse 6, be careful for nothing. Don't let those cares overwhelm you. Don't let those worries overwhelm you, those doubts, those fears. And then he said, be thankful again, thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. Then in verse 7, he shows us how to find victory, and he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, beyond what makes sense to us. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm in that place, it seems like there is absolutely nothing that can touch it. Doesn't make sense. There's no way. Beyond the things that make sense to us, beyond all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, and this is his solution, how to find victory over that device. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. Are you noticing a trend here in the things that he's mentioning? These are the opposite of the things that we like to focus on in these devices when we're in the grip of them. Are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't dwell on the other things. Think on these things. And in verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. See, as Christians, these are things that are not just outside of our reach. These are not just things that, well, somebody else might be able to have those things to look at, but you don't know me. No, as Christians in Christ, these are things that we can say, we have learned, we have received, we have heard, we have seen, now I just need to do it. It's there. And he says, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. That sounds like victory over it to me. And it's a simple thing to do. It's like David standing up and saying, all right, this doesn't make any sense. My soul is still complaining, but soul, what's wrong with you? Stop it. And he has this against himself, saying, no, I'm going to make the decision now, in spite of what everything in my soul, my emotions are telling me, I'm going to go against that heart, and I'm going to praise God. I'm going to hold to him. A lot of you have maybe heard the story of John Wesley, of how he came down, and Martin Luther, this is multiple times, I've heard multiple different variations, but came down and his wife was dressed in all black for breakfast, veil over her face, and he said, oh no, who died? She said, God died. He said, what? He says, well, based on the way you've been acting this last week, I assumed he must have died because there's no other reason for you to act the way you are. He said it jolted him out of it to realize, wait, God is not dead. What am I doing? What am I doing? Our countenance, our conduct, there's freedom from the devices of the devil. Deception, distraction, depression, there is freedom in Jesus Christ. And we know that as Christians. We just need to come back to it. Pray for our people in Vanuatu. Pray for Stephen. He is on my heart this morning. He went just torn pray for him, that the devices would not get a hold of him, that he'd find a solid Bible-believing, a solid church in Fiji, that he would come back as stronger than when he left, that he would not lose sight of what God's called him to be. Pray for all of our men. And right here, we've got people in our own families, maybe even us, that need the same prayer, the same needs that Stephen's facing. Again, thank you. I look forward to sharing all that's happening. Find victory, because we have it already. Just remember what we've seen. Do it now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for, Lord, the victory that we have in you. We sing of it often. Lord, help us to know it down to the very depths of our soul. Lord, to stand against any devices that come, any of the things that, Lord, pull us from what you have. Lord, to find the life that you desire. Lord, abundant in you, your grace, Lord, your love. Lord, I pray, help us to be able to use that promise to go out and make a difference in this world around us, never to be distracted from what you have. Lord, I pray for our people in Vanuatu. I lift up Stephen this morning. Lord, I pray for those here that maybe are going through the exact same thing. And Lord, I pray we lift them up to you. Lord, help us to have victory, true victory, Lord, every day in all things through you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ.